the General Failure Podcast is now being calibrated for your listening pleasure.
Welcome to episode 270 of the General Failure Podcast for the week of March 2nd, 2021. This week, we get medieval, disappointments galore, and J.K. Rowling is going to Avada Kedavra herself. I'm Dom, and I got with me TJ.
What up?
And it's just us this week.
Yep.
I think CJ's going on paternity leave again.
He is currently pushing out a baby.
About 5 minutes ago, he had too much Chipotle, and now he's having a butt baby.
Mm-hmm. It is coming out hard and coming out fast.
Mm-hmm. So, this week we don't have a guest, but it sounds like we're going to have to start getting some more guests on.
Yeah.
So, anybody who wants to be a guest, let us know, and you can come on the show and talk shit.
About CJ.
About CJ specifically.
Because you won't listen to this. It's fine.
All right. So let's get started with some What Are You Playing? And let's just go. Let's start with you. Let's just go you, me for everything. That sounds
Ooh,
good.
Hotness. Give and take. I like it. So I started this week, like everyone in the universe right now, playing Valheim. It's a RPG builder game. If you've played Rust, DayZ, Miscreated, kind of those types of games, you've played this. The only thing is, the story is really cool because it involves like Nordic mythology, and you're in Valheim. You're in this place like after warriors die, and you forever in battle kind of thing. And you start off with like literally nothing. And what you have to do is survive, build houses, upgrade gear and stuff, but also have to take out these bosses that you summon by killing things in the area and sacrificing it. And the bosses are super difficult. I've done one so far, and it was like a giant deer that shot electricity out. It was not easy. But the music's fantastic. Some of the graphics are really nice. Like if you look up into the starry night, you can also see like the world tree go across the sky. It's really cool. The graphics for the people and the ground, however, are like PS2 graphics.
Nice.
So that I gotta knock it for, but
like I assume they're not like stylized. Like Sea of Thieves is kind of like that. The people and stuff, the graphics are shit, but it's stylized in a way that doesn't make it look that bad because all of the graphic power goes towards the water, the lighting, and the sky, which is totally fine because it's a pirate game, so that's what it should be doing.
It's kind of like that. I think it's just because it's a small team of like five people that have played this thing. It's now 3 weeks out and they've already sold 4 million copies.
Jesus.
And is already on the top of most played games on Steam.
Wow, good for them. I've been meaning to buy it. I just haven't yet.
It's also $20.
Yeah, that's like, the thing. It's only $20.
That's nuts.
So you might as well like buy it now before, because at some point they're gonna ramp up the price, I have to assume.
I don't like, they don't have a ton of people working on it. They are constantly putting out like little fixes and stuff. Hopefully with all this money now, they can hire more people and get the ball rolling. But it's a fun game. The mechanics are really cool. They're really different. They're like Rust and all those survival games, but not. They're simpler, I feel like. Just kind of like mine stuff, kill things, get stuff, you know, upgrade. Building houses and stuff is really nice. Everything's stylistic for kind of Nordic stuff. Like the weapons, the house building kind of looks Nordic. And there's different areas where you find different things. I just ran into a troll the other day, which scared the shit out of me because he's like 8 times the size of you. It felt like playing Shadow of the Colossus.
Yeah.
Like they're just that big compared to your shrinky dude. But it's a lot of fun. There's also dungeons you have to go down to find items you have to use to upgrade and stuff. And it's a very well thought out world. And everything is very well thought out. Gameplay, all that stuff. And for a team that's so small, of like probably just five people, it's insane how well this game is done.
Right.
And people need to play it. It's that simple. If you haven't played it yet, which is very few and far between at this point, with 4 million copies sold already.
Yeah, I'm downloading it right now.
Yeah, that's what I did last time. The last episode, yeah. I said I was downloading it.
Yeah, it's nuts. Like at this point, like for $20, I might as well get it. Everyone is enjoying it so far, and like I know people that I haven't like played games with in a while, that are playing it and want me to play it with them. So I might as well.
Is Deep Rock Galactic part of the same team?
You got this on Steam, right?
Yeah,
I didn't waste
my
money
to buy on
Steam.
The same publisher of Deep Rock Galactic as Valheim.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good for them.
It's like a team of like nobodies, but the publisher has put out good games.
Because Deep Rock Galactic has been out for like 3 years at this point, but it's really just starting to get big, probably because it's on Game Pass now.
Yep.
And that's good for them. They're getting a shit ton of players on Game Pass for Deep Rock, and now they have, 4 million copies sold on this so far?
Mm-hmm.
Like, good for them.
Yeah, this is fucking crazy. Yeah, and Valheim's...
I'll have to give it a... I'm going to give it a try because these aren't the type of games that I really like. That's why I've been hesitant to buy it, is like this is not my type of game building and stuff.
The cool thing is, unlike most Rust and DayZ and those type of games, PvP can be turned off easily. And also you can host your own servers as easily as just selecting your character and starting a game. And you can just go start a server. So it's P2P. So it's easy to start a server and just have people join. I think it's 10 people can be allowed at one time.
That's good. And it's all PvE stuff that you can do at that point, right?
Yeah, just PvE stuff. You just build houses and shit. You don't need special... you can add special permissions so people can't build on your stuff. But everything's open. It's made to be PvE. That's the cool thing about this game.
Okay.
PvP is something you have to manually add to the game.
Right.
By like clicking a bunch of options and stuff.
So could you technically do PvP in your private server where you could basically, if you have 10 people, you split up into like factions of five and like have a war between each other and just like,
I think so.
You know, basically be StarCraft, like five people making one camp and five people making the other camp. And like after a half an hour, after 20 minutes or something like that, you can start attacking each other.
You could. I mean, technically it would take you a lot longer to build up to like being able to use certain stuff. Because the game doesn't kind of handhold you. It kind of just lets you go. There's a bird that just randomly comes down and will just tell you facts about stuff you're doing. But if you don't do something, the wiki's helped a lot because there's still that kind of, people that have just made a game and they don't know how to handhold people enough.
Like they don't know how to do it right. They're either going to be like complete handhold, like I tell you everything about the game, or I tell you nothing about the game.
So it's got that kind of problems with, but every new game's got that kind of problem. But I think it's 100% worth it. The graphics are weird, but I think it's just the charm of the game. I think it's made to be like that. And also being a game that's just kind of PvE unless you make it PvP.
Yeah.
And that you can just make a server on your own. You don't have to go buy a server or rent one or anything. You can just be like, all right, I'm going to... And your characters, whatever is on your character, can go to different servers. So your character an instance. So you can take your character and go to someone else's server with all your stuff.
That's nice.
But if your character dies... That character is
it's like
dead.
Permadeath type stuff. Yeah,
I think so. If you die and then don't get your stuff, if you die, you can just go and grab your stuff from like a grave site, more or less, and then just mine it and you pick your stuff up. But you can just like pick up your. It's just really cool ideas of being able to play as much as you can with other people. It's also, yeah, it's made by five people. Five people made this game that is now being played by 4 million people.
Damn.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's already downloaded. It's just like, you know, from the time that I just bought it. Yeah,
it's
until
a small ass download.
Up to this point. Yeah.
It's like, I don't know, like a gig or something. Not even.
That's something like that. I think it was like 1.12 gigs or something like that. Like, not long at all.
And I'm 13 hours in and I really want to play more.
Almost 14.
Like,
yeah,
oh, yeah,
I'm
going
to have to give
14.
It a try then.
Like, I'll just start up a game. You can join it and, or you can start a game and I'll join it and kind of walk you through. Like,
yeah,
it's that easy. And then you have your own little server that you can just stay with. Or you can go to someone else's and with that character, go to someone else's and hang out. Or start another
Sabotage.
Character who's separate.
Right.
And can just be like,
how many characters
can
you start?
I don't
like unlimited.
No, I doubt it's unlimited, but I haven't
Usually
tried the
like
multi-characters
five
yet.
To 10 different characters.
Mm. I haven't tried it yet.
That's
but
what I'm doing tonight.
Yeah. Just character making constantly. There's not a lot of options. It's kind of like character creator in like Stardew Valley.
Right.
But it's enough to make your character look a little bit different. And then you add armor and stuff and they look all the same. But it's a lot of fun. If you like those type of games, definitely try it. If you like kind of Rust and DayZ and all that stuff, but want a more PvE game, this is definitely for you. And want to play with people. It's a lot easier to play with people and or just want to play by yourself. I've been playing by myself and been fine with it.
Yeah.
I play with CJ a little bit when we first started playing the game. It's been fun as well. So, and I think all the maps.
I got a couple people that want to play. So,
yeah. I think all the maps are
at least
random
get a group.
As well.
Okay. Are they like procedurally generated or just there are maps and you just get thrown into one?
I think they're procedurally generated for each person.
Cool.
I don't think they're the same throughout. So,
I like that.
And
they
all
nice.
Have like, you know, they have fields and dark forests and winter mountains and stuff. So, it's a good game. I'm excited to play, and I will play with you.
Sweet.
Yeah.
All right. So everybody check out Valheim. $20 on Steam.
Mm-hmm.
Get it. All right. So I have been playing a game that is now, I don't know, 2 or 3 years old that we both wanted to play when it came out, but I heard nothing but terrible things about it. So I have been playing Middle Earth Shadow of War because it's been on Game Pass for a while and like I just never got around to playing it. And I was like always like, might as well play it. I loved the first one. It was amazing. So I might as well give it a try, but nothing but terrible, terrible reviews. So I finally gave it a try. First off, I think I mentioned it last week. It's 100 gig download.
Yeah, the game is ginormous.
So that's bullshit.
Yeah. For a game that's 4 years old, because it came out in 2017.
2017, Jesus Christ. 4 years ago, damn. But, I mean, I've been playing it, and I'm already, you know, I've already put 4 hours into it in the past couple days, because, like, it's so fucking good. Probably more than 4 hours, probably 6 hours.
And you don't have
it's
to
fucking
do
great.
A fucking lick of the main story. Like,
you don't have to do any story.
I fucking hate Lord of the Rings. I've said before, I hate fucking Lord of the Rings, but those games are so fucking fun to play.
Yeah. To like, do I don't even really care about the story.
All you're doing for the story is to get cooler equipment. So
that's
you can
exactly
kill
it. The only reason I'm doing the story, so I can get cooler stuff and so I can get more... So I can get more unlocks because there are certain abilities in your skill tree that you only unlock via
story. Yeah,
which is fine. That's a good way to get you to do the story. I don't give a flying fuck. I couldn't even tell you what the story is because I don't care.
Yeah,
I'm watching all the cutscenes for whatever reason. I'm not paying attention to them. I'm just staring at the screen until I get to go kill some more stuff.
Yeah,
because like the combat is so damn good.
It is so literally good.
Endless fun, just murdering orcs.
That's what I do with the first game. I played the second game a little bit, and it's same thing. Like all you do is run around and kill orcs on the tree it has. And at some point you're just like, all right, I'll die, so new stuff comes in and then I'll go kill all that shit too.
Yep. Now I know I think they revamped that system a little bit so that it's a little more intuitive, because they had the revenge system, which was great. You know, if a if one of the captains, I think they were called, kills you, they get like ranked up, and they get better gear and stuff, and you can go and find them and get revenge on them. Or if you kill them, they'll come back and be like, well, if it isn't the ranger who, you know, cut my head off or some shit, and they'll have like scars on their face and stuff like that. And they'll try and kill you, but they'll be more powerful and you can just kill them again, which I've done. I've had a couple guys that just out of nowhere show up and like, they're like, I remember you. And I'm just like, I'm gonna kill you again. Just like fucking cut their head off again. It's so fucking fun.
I think if you don't decapitate them, they have a chance of coming back.
Yeah.
I think once you decapitate them, they're done.
They're done. Yeah. There's a lot of different ways to kill them too. And that's part of the fun is, you know, if you just like beat them to death, like with your sword and everything, it'll say that they killed. You can, if you kill them with an arrow, it says shot, but you can burn them. You can poison them. You can execute them. I think you can decapitate them. There's like so many different ways of killing. And like, that's my fun thing is like, all the different ways that I can kill the captains.
Yeah.
And then, like, you know, just stringing together huge combos with the low orcs.
And then they also have strengths and weaknesses. So some you can't use fire attacks or arrows. Mm-hmm. Some you can't assassinate.
Yep. And some of them are weak to assassination. Yep. So you can actually, like, you can stealth kill them in one shot, which is awesome.
Yeah, it's always great to do that and leave that one dude dead. And then the rest of them are like, oh.
Yep. I just did one mission where there was four captains all in. Actually, sorry, there's three captains and one, whatever the level above captain is, because now they have bodyguards and they have like basically workers for them. So like the second tier of guys will have the captains below them working for them. And you have to like kill that captain to get the attention of the higher level guy.
Yeah.
So I was doing one and there was literally, it was like basically a coliseum, and there was like a bunch of friendlies fighting
that.
A bunch of orcs with like three captains and one, I don't know, I just call him a lieutenant. I know he's not, but just for the sake of like, actually lieutenant's probably lower, whatever. One second tier guy. Yeah. And I just went in there and fucking just massacred all of them. But there was also like two exploding barrels and two of the Karagors that were in cages.
Yeah.
So I unleashed the Karagors, then blew up the barrels. So the Karagors are on fire attacking the orcs. Yeah. And like they're like attacking the orcs, they're running around, lighting everything on fire, and I'm just fighting the main guy that I'm after. And like when you kill a captain, it still does like that slow motion thing and says like whatever the captain's name is and killed.
Yeah.
So like I'm fighting the big guy and those things keep like interrupting me because like the Karagors are tearing apart the captains. It's like, you know, whatever, Thok the whatever, it was like mauled and this other guy got burned to death. And I'm like, I'm not even doing anything and I'm getting good shit. Like,
yeah, that's just good so too. Much just fun. Letting the Karagors out and like the captains that just run away from them because they're scared of them. It's like, yep. And do shit.
Now, one of the complaints that I had from the original one was that when you were on top of like the towers that you could fast travel to, when you jumped off, it did like a superhero landing. It just jumped all the way down there and you never took damage. But if you were on top of something else that was high and you jumped off, you could fall down and like take damage.
Oh yeah. You could almost
die. Doesn't happen in this. Yep. There's no fall damage in this. Basically at a certain height where it would cause you fall damage, they go into like that wraith mode and you just land safely.
Oh, that's so not like a special ability you unlock or?
It might be. I don't remember. If it is, you unlock it super early in the game. And you also unlock a double jump super early in the game. So like, it's just a lot of fun that no matter where you are, you just launch yourself off and you can be in a good position to fucking sneak up and kill some orcs. And like, they really, the skill tree is so, it's a lot better in this game just based off of what you get and as early as you get them. One of the abilities I unlocked first was if you sneak attack an orc, it gives you full health.
Damn.
No matter, it regenerates all of your health. So I'm like, anytime you're low on health, just sneak attack an orc and you get full health again. And like now I have one where it regenerates one arrow of elf shot every time I do a perfect counter to an enemy. So like when, you know, when they go to attack, you can hit Y, but if you wait until the last second, you get like the perfect counter and that just regenerates my elf shot now. So it's like, I'm basically just like always
unstoppable.
Yeah, I pretty much always have full arrows unless I, you know, unload all of them immediately, but I can easily get them back. Mm-hmm. And anytime you're low on health, just sneak attack an orc and kill him and you get full health back. And it's just like, it's just so much fun being like as powerful as you can be.
But even with all those abilities, you can be overrun in that game very easily.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Like it makes it so a lot of orcs. Even if you have like maxed out stats, you can still be overrun by a large group. So you still have to play that game smart, which yep. is what I love, which is it's one of the only games that get ramping up difficulty without just making things bullet sponges.
Yes.
And I don't know. Yeah. I don't know how they do it, but they do it correctly.
Yeah. It's because like some of the enemies will do more damage. Some of them, they'll just travel in bigger packs, so they'll attack you more. Mm. Some of them will attack you smarter, and some of them will just have different abilities that, like, you know, the big guys with shields, and you can't hit them from the front. You have to either jump over them or slide through their legs and attack mm-hmm. them from the back. Meanwhile, there's a guy with a spear, you know, 10 feet back throwing spears at you trying to break up your combo, and it's just like, it's honestly pretty good AI for that type of game with like just so many orcs on screen
maybe,
all at once. And like
maybe
the fact
that's
that
it, the variety of enemies,
yeah,
they're so different and work so well together that yep. it just makes the game difficult without being frustrating.
Exactly. And like they had the big ogres again, the ones that you can like jump on their back and keep stabbing them and they'll just swing wildly and you can smack orcs with them.
Yep.
That's always fun. But what's more fun to me is assassinating or executing those guys, because you can't stealth kill them. I think it takes like probably half their health or so if you do the stealth attack on them. But if you have the execution where you hit Y and B at the same time, that's what I love to do, is like get up my might for that and have the execution loaded. And then I'll go and like sneak attack them and like stab them a few times, and then they'll turn around and then I'll like cut their head off or like stab them in the face or something. And it's like, this guy is supposed to kind of be like almost a little bit of a boss type character. Yeah. And like, I just killed him in like 2 seconds. And it's just so fucking fun.
And the cool thing is like, if you kill like a boss type level, like dude, the other smaller dudes will run away because it makes sense. Like
scared.
The captain got killed, run the fuck away. Like it's really, really smart AI. And I think this game doesn't get enough credit. What credits
do. I really don't think it. I mean, like, it's literally the gold standard for what we call combat. Every mm-hmm. single game where, like, it should have just had Middle Earth combat. Like, it should just have that combat. Like, it's the gold standard for combat. Yeah, exactly. Yep. And, you know, a lot of games have that now. The new Spider-Man game on PS4 and 5, that's got it too. Mm-hmm. Like, that's like the gold standard for combat. It's perfect that way. And now it's like also the gold standard for like AI of like how enemies actually react to the things that you're doing.
Mm.
It's just like,
I just wish other games took how the characters work in.
Yeah.
Where there's multiple different types of orcs.
Yep.
And that's what makes that game fun.
Fun. Yeah. If there was other games, because like I said, I don't care about this story. I like Lord of the Rings. I don't care about this story. Mm-hmm. Don't give a shit at all. If somebody else created a game that was this much fun to play, but had a really intriguing story and awesome characters, because I think that's mostly what it is I don't care about the characters. Yeah. Talion is like the most generic ranger ever. He is a beefy, the long brown-haired, stubble-faced, square-jawed white dude.
Yeah, he's like the most typical protagonist in a video game. Yeah.
He's the stock character. He is when you go to create a character in a video game, he's the starting point. And that's what they just went with. They went with the starting point. He has, you know, the exact voice you'd expect him to have. Like everything is so generic. They really would have benefited more from a character creator in the game. So I just like don't care about the story at all.
Yeah.
You know, typical bullshit. He's getting revenge because his wife, you know, him and his wife were killed. The Wraith saved him from death. Now he's getting revenge on the people who killed his family. Like, okay.
Typical. You know,
this is like the most generic storyline from the most generic character. But the game is a shit ton of fun. And even the first one had one of the worst endings I've ever experienced in a video game. That last mission, the final boss fight, was dog shit.
I don't think I ever played the last mission. I think I just played killing orcs constantly.
The final boss fight was quick time events, and then he just died.
Like, oh, that's so bad.
You got up, and I'm pretty sure it was Sauron, too. Like, you fucking played this whole game to go kill Sauron, and it ended up in a fucking interactive cutscene, and I was just like, oh, my God. So that took the game from, like, a 10 out of 10 to, like, a 9.5 for me, because I was like, that sucks so much, but this game is amazing otherwise. Like, it's just it's, like, unfathomably fun to play these games. That's all I can say about it.
It's like the opposite of most games, where most games have a good story, but like the gameplay really lets it fall.
Yep.
Where this has amazing gameplay, but I could give two rat's ass about the story.
Seriously.
And I don't think it's just like, because look at me, I'm not a Lord of the Rings fan. I'm not playing this game for the Lord of the Rings lore. Like, there's a lot of people that play this game, not because it's part of Lord of the Rings, just because the game is good.
Yeah. And like, I suppose that that's a little bit good, where it's like, you don't have to be a fan of Lord of the Rings. You don't really even have to know anything about Lord of the Rings.
Not
like, there's
slightest.
Not like an entry point of like, I have to know everything about Lord of the Rings to know what the hell's going on in this game. You could follow the story without that. And I'm sure that there's some people.
Probably not.
Yeah.
Should you just kill orcs constantly? Yes, you should.
I'm sure that there's plenty of people who actually love the storyline and think it's super interesting and get invested in the characters. I'm not one of them. I don't give a shit.
Nope.
I just want to cut orcs' heads off.
Oh, it's good. And it was good in the first one, and they somehow made it better in the second one.
Yeah, like, the killing seems more fun to me in the second one. Now, I know that there was problems in the beginning when it first launched, because there was, I don't think an auction house, but there was some sort of, there was basically gambling. There was a lot of microtransactions, and there was something else in it, and people, like, lost it.
It killed that game.
There was microtransactions and loot boxes in it, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And that was probably the reason that it was reviewed so horribly. And then WB took it back and they reworked it, and they took out all the loot boxes. They took out the microtransactions. So it's just like a straight up game now. And it's like, well, this is what you should have done from the beginning. And it's fucking amazing.
It's fun. I can't recommend it enough either.
Yeah. What's interesting is last month, I think it went into effect literally a week ago, WB actually patented the Nemesis system that the game uses.
Oh, really? Which, I didn't know it was their own system.
Yeah, I guess they came up with the system. So it's cool like that they patented it, but it also sucks because from the first game, we were like, every game should use this Nemesis system. It's so cool.
Yep.
And now nobody can use it.
Yeah.
But yeah, February 3rd of this year, they patented the Nemesis system, and it went into effect literally last Tuesday. So now no one else but them can use this Nemesis system.
Well, I mean, they could probably pay for the rights, but
probably,
the amount of money they probably want for it is probably redonkulous.
Yeah.
It's like learning out the Unreal Engine from Epic.
Yep.
It's like got to be insane amounts of money.
Exactly. It'll be interesting to see if that gets used anywhere else. Like, you know, WB owns Mortal Kombat. So, like, could they start some sort of like Nemesis system like that in Mortal Kombat? Maybe. I'm sure that there's other things that they can introduce it to. In likelihood, they'll use it for.
Well, they have the
Gotham Knights.
Yeah, they have Gotham Knights. So, I mean, that's not a big hard one to move that over to.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense for them to use, like, you know, street thugs versus, you know, higher tier dudes. So,
yeah.
You know, I literally can't recommend it enough. It's just a fucking fun game. You just get lost and just sneaking around. I spent the first 2 hours of the game walking around one orc camp. I didn't even do the missions. I was literally just sneaking around the same camp over and over and over again. The same, like, little stretch of land, just murdering things.
Yeah. and it's fun every fucking time.
Yeah, it's never not fun. And that's that's crazy to me. There's no other game that I can say that is the same thing over and over again. It never loses an ounce of fun.
Because each, like, trying to, like, go in and kill them, it all feels very different. Because all the characters are very different. All the enemy types are different. So you'll never run into kind of the same issues twice.
Exactly.
So
yeah, every battle is different.
Mm-hmm. So I recommend it.
You get, like, you know, make personal challenges with yourself of, like, how many like, you know, people in this pack can you stealth kill before you get seen or something. Like that's the games I play with myself of, like, I'm gonna try and kill all five of these fucking guys that are all standing next to each other without them noticing. Like that's the fun stuff I can do.
I always had a problem using the poison, like poisoning their food and stuff.
Yeah, I never really do that. I always just burn them.
Like, I feel like that's the hardest one, is to poison them with their food, because they're always seem to be around it. So it's hard to, like, sneak up there, drop stuff in the food, and then run.
Yeah.
So that would be hard to do, but that could be a challenge.
Now, there is a multiplayer feature, too, which I haven't attempted. Yeah, it's called Social Conquest, I think. Or there's a mode called Social Conquest in it. And basically, you have fortresses, and it's, like, PvP-type stuff, and you go and, like, invade people's fortresses.
Oh. I was hoping it was just, like...
Can you imagine multiplayer just killing orcs? Like even if it was like waves?
Yeah. That would be so awesome. Or like
that might be the best game ever.
Like climbing a tower kind of thing where, like,
yes,
every time you kill everything, you go up to the next part and it's like a new area and you have to kill in a different way or something like that.
Yep. Or yeah, you get like harder guys, or like a tower defense, like castle defense type stuff, where you build up your castle and you have waves of enemies come and you kill all the enemies, and then you have to like repair what they destroyed on your castle. You can make upgrades, put archers up, put like fucking guys with catapults up, and you just get, like, you know, more and more and harder enemies coming at you. And I think we just invented the best game ever.
Yes, we just did. That'll I'm gonna call WB. WB, if you're listening.
Fucking incredible. All right, let's move on a little bit, because we're talking too much about this amazing fucking game. Mm-hmm. Go play Shadow of War. We're halfway through the episode, and we spent most of it talking about that so far. All right, let's move on to some nerd news. What do you got?
So Epic Games, our lovely friends over there, we were talking about Unreal Engine before, they just bought Mediatonic, probably a name you might or might not hear, I've heard. They made Fall Guys. So the creative Fall Guys have been purchased by Epic Games. Epic has shared the news, confirming that the gameplay shouldn't change in the game. Epic said that it will not move off of Steam, which it sounds like a big ball of shit to me.
Yeah.
And also will say that it is coming to Nintendo Switch and the Xbox soon.
It's already on PS4 now, I think.
Yeah, it's already on PC and PlayStation. We'll be coming to Nintendo Switch and the Xbox soon.
The big question is, because like they said, it's not going to be removed from Steam.
Yeah.
So when it is removed from Steam anyway, am I going to have to pay for it again, or will they honor my Steam purchase and let me download it off the Epic Store?
You're going to super have to pay again.
That's what I thought.
You're super fucked.
It's definitely getting removed from Steam.
There's a large amount of rumors that it's going to go to free to play at some point because of how much of a climb this game had and how much of a decline this game had, because this game was super, super busy. And then Among Us came out and hit them hard. Or Among Us got big. They've been out for a while. They're saying they're going to be putting more money into the Epic is going to put more money into Fall Guys. Fall Guys the team has already gone from 35 people to 150 people since it debuted. And I mean, the game makes sense being under Epic. They already have Fortnite and Rocket League. So, like, it's kind of in that sense of games.
Yeah. I just hope, because, like, I can't say that Rocket League got worse as a game when Epic purchased them, but there were some downsides. Like, like how I talked about when I started playing again and all of the stuff that I had unlocked was gone.
Yeah.
And like I had to unlock a bunch of stuff again. Eventually I did get some of the stuff back, but like, I don't know, making it free to play definitely was not a better thing for Rocket League. And I'm hoping that they don't pull the same shit with Fall Guys, where all the stuff that I've paid for with my crowns and my, you know, the money, the in-game money and stuff, I hope that doesn't all go away and I have to start over again because they made it free to play and revamped the entire microtransaction system.
Yeah, which it might, because of if they go to free to play, it might change everything. Mm-hmm. They haven't announced that yet, but there's heavy implications that it will, just because to get new people into the game, it makes sense.
Yeah.
But yeah, also they're in the middle of, Fall Guys is in the middle of season 3. Season 4 was teased, titled Fall Guys 4041, which appears to be 80s sci-fi themed. So like probably
that's
cyberpunk
cool.
kind
that's gonna
of
be
shit.
Cool. I haven't played it in so long. I played a little bit when season 2 was out because I really liked it.
Yep.
I don't think I've played it all. I saw season 3 stuff and I was like, this is cool. I haven't fucking played it.
I think that's why they're doing this, is to kind of build more steam for the game, because it just mm-hmm. took a hard hit with Among Us. Just everybody yeah. went over to it. So hopefully,
and now everyone's on Valheim.
Yep, everyone's on Valheim now. So maybe this will bring up more steam for the game so that people play yeah. more. Hopefully it doesn't get taken off of Steam. It probably will, and I'll have to buy it again, which would be bullshit, but yeah, they say they're not doing it. I'll be fucking shocked if it doesn't happen by the end of the year. So Epic Games buying everything.
Yeah, try and stay optimistic, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. My news this week is, and I already talked to you about this.
Yep.
News I was going to talk to CJ about, but now our listeners can hear it, that Sony did their State of Play
mm-hmm.
For, you know, what's coming up in 2021 and beyond.
And this is after Nintendo's Direct.
Yeah. So we talked last week about Nintendo's Direct, which I said was horrendously disappointing.
Yep.
So, you know, I was like, all right, like now Sony has a chance to up it. After watching this, the only thing I thought was, like, how was it possible that they managed to do worse than Nintendo did? Like,
yeah,
somehow I was more disappointed than this than I was with Nintendo's shitty fucking Direct. Yeah. They showed 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. They showed 10 games. That's it.
Yeah. Which doesn't seem like a major announcement. That just seems like a,
yeah,
here's some shit coming up.
And a lot of them were all right, so first of all, it was the PS5 version of Crash Bandicoot 4 with some new enhancements in it. So, okay, cool, there's new enhancements, but that's a game that's already out and I've already talked about. I've already played. It's great, and it's not Sony exclusive. They had gameplay for a game called Returnal, which I haven't seen before, but I'm sure some people have.
When they showed off the PS5, they showed off that game, and it looked cool.
Okay. It does. I actually do think it looks pretty cool. I hate the name, but I think the game looks pretty cool.
The name of the game is stupid.
Yeah. They had the first look at a Kung Fu experience, which I thought the graphics were okay, but I talked to some other people who thought that it looked like terrible graphics. I thought they were okay. It had like a weird, like oil painting cell shaded style to it. But Kung Fu game looks like it actually plays pretty cool. But it was called Sifu. Like Sifu, and immediately everyone started making seafood jokes about it, and it was just like, you had to see that shit coming, yeah. Right?
$5, you know, management gave it that name, and everyone underneath was like, here's all the jokes we can make. Let's see if we can play bingo with the amount that come out after we release the game.
And like, yeah, I'm sure that it means something in Japanese. In Mandarin, seafood can't... Yeah. It's a title and a role of a skillful person or master. It's actually Shifu, S-H-I-F-U. Cantonese is Sifu, S-I-F-U. So this is the Cantonese spelling for some reason. It basically means skilled person or master. So it makes sense in terms of like you're a master kung fu artist. But at the same time, like,
yeah, it was
you
weird.
Know, let's not call it seafood. Like, you're going to make shitty jokes. It looked decent. Whatever. Then they showed Knockout City, which I still think looks okay. It's a dodgeball game that reminds me a lot of Splatoon or Roller Champions.
It's a Jackbox game, isn't it?
Yeah, right. That game was showed during the Nintendo Direct. It was unveiled then. So, like, what the fuck? You just showed a game.
Showed the same game?
Nintendo debuted 5 days before their bad Direct.
Yeah.
So, that was, you know, whatever. I still think the game looks pretty good. They had gameplay for Solar Ash, which graphically looks okay. It's very stylized. I think the game itself looks dumb. It reminds me a lot of Mirror's Edge, where it's like...
Oh, right.
A lot
that
of
game.
Like parkour type stuff.
That was another game like, they showed off when they did the release for the PS5.
It's one of those things that like initially seems like a cool idea, but then you realize that you really don't want to play an entire game like that. Like there's some cool things where like, you know, the bosses seem like Shadow of the Colossus type bosses where it's like giant things that you're like climbing up, but it really seems like it ends up just being like a skating tutorial mixed in with some quick time events to attack people. Like it does not look like it's going to be a bundle of fun.
Yeah.
Gameplay for the new Five Nights at Freddy's game. Don't give a flying fuck about Five Nights at Freddy's. Don't know why everyone likes it. This seems more like what I would like out of a Five Nights game, where instead of being like a point and click adventure, it's like a sneaking game.
Yeah.
Where you are inside of, I guess, the fucking Chuck E. Cheese restaurant and you're sneaking around while the animatronics try and find you. So that's cool. But like, I don't know what it is about Five Nights at Freddy's. I've just never cared about it. And then there's on top of like, you know, their fandom that seems to think that like the Five Nights at Freddy's lore is the most important thing ever. And I'm like, yeah, get over yourself.
It's a little weird. I also don't like jump scares. So these games have never appealed to me whatsoever.
Yeah. I like jump scares. So it might be a little bit of fun, but like just the Five Nights at Freddy's branding on it.
It's got a cool backstory. I mean, it's got like these animatronics have like the souls of like killers and shit in it.
Yep.
But like, it's just weird. And there's so many games now.
Yeah.
That it's hard to keep track of what's going on.
Yep. They showed more gameplay and revealed an April 6th release date for the new Oddworld game, which looks cool. I like Oddworld. I don't know how well the Oddworld formula will hold up in 2021 because it is a very puzzle-based. Yeah, it seems like it's very old. And I think that it could work because I do think it'll be a fun game, but it's not just the gameplay that I'm not sure about. It's also like kids today don't seem to like weird, gross alien shit the way that we did 20 years ago when the first Oddworld game came out. It was perfect then because it was like, you know, you had Mars Attacks in the 90s and stuff, and there was a lot of like extraterrestrial UFO type shit, so Oddworld really fit in.
Nickelodeon, like old school Nickelodeon.
Yep.
Like it fit with
kids today aren't really into gross aliens, so I don't know how attractive it's going to be to new players.
True.
They showed gameplay and story stuff for a game called Kena Bridge of the Spirits, which actually looks pretty good. I like the way that it looked. It reminds me a lot of like Dark Souls type of gameplay and not necessarily the story, but just like, I don't know, just the way the game feels very Dark Souls-y, but it feels like it's a Dark Souls for not only a little bit younger audience, but more of a broader audience too. Like getting more of that like Japanese fantasy type of audience rather than hi, I'm a knight and like exclusively like medieval fantasy type of audience.
Yeah, I texted you and CJ before about this, but I'm tired of what the fuck is the game? Not Dead Souls. Is it Dead Souls? Yeah.
Dark Souls.
Dark Souls. There we go. Dark Soul copies. Because they're just difficult games to be difficult. Because that's what Dark Souls is. It's just difficult to be difficult. And I'm tired of it. I don't like Dark Souls in the slightest. And we don't need more copies of them.
Now, to be fair, most of the Dark Souls copies are also made by From Software. They just make the same game with a reskin over and over again. And, you know, a different story.
It was announced that Elden Ring, the thing by George R. R. Martin and Miyazaki.
Guillermo del Toro?
No, it's Miyazaki, isn't it?
Oh, it's Miyazaki? Okay. Well,
now that's going to be a Dark Souls ripoff as well.
Yeah, because that's made by From Software also.
God damn it.
So they have three Dark Souls games. Then they have Demon's Souls, which was back on the PS2. Then they have Bloodborne. They have Sekiro. And now they're going to have Elden Ring. They're all the same fucking game. They have the exact same.
Fuck me.
They have the same controls. They have the same combat. They have the same UI, all of them. It's the same thing, just with a different story.
God damn it. So I just hate a company, is what you're telling me.
Yeah, you hate From Software, is what it is.
I hate From Software. Got it.
There's other games that do try and copy that a little bit. The new God of War game for PS4, that kind of had that gameplay a little bit. I think it was better than Dark Souls was, but Dark Souls is a very niche thing, and they just keep making games. But you know what? They sell. People love them, so... they're going to keep doing it.
They can quietly fuck off. Cannot stand those games.
They showed a new trailer for Deathloop, which is now no longer PlayStation exclusive. It is also coming to Windows.
Yep.
Which people were concerned with when Microsoft bought Bethesda, if they were going to pull Deathloop. And if I was Microsoft, I would have pulled Deathloop off of Sony altogether.
Yeah.
Because that's what Sony would do. But, you know, Microsoft's not a piece of shit.
I would have allowed both because it's going to maximize your profits.
Yep. I would have put it on Xbox also. But I'm a petty bitch. So, yeah, I probably would have pulled it off of Sony altogether and just be like, Microsoft exclusive. Fuck you guys. But they're not going to do that.
I think that game's going to need both consoles and the PC. So
it's not coming to Xbox at this point.
Oh, it's not coming to Xbox?
No, it's only coming to Windows.
That seems
weird. They'll eventually get it on Xbox, but I agree. I think it's going to need because it doesn't look that great.
Yeah, the guns look cool, but I wasn't blown away by what I saw when they first showed off Deathloop. But it was also very early in development, so maybe that was just it.
We'll have to see. I think it looks okay, but it does. It looks like a solid 6.5 type of game to me, where it's like, this game's fun, but it's nothing special.
Yeah.
So that is what it is. And then the last game they showed off was the second part of the Final Fantasy VII remake, which I have very good and very bad things to say about it. Number one good thing is that it comes out on June 10th, which is fucking awesome.
It's
revealed
soon.
Part two, and you have 3 months and it's coming out. That is a great marketing strategy for them. I don't like the naming convention already because it is called Final Fantasy VII Remake Intergrade. So I'm like, this is going to get goddamn confusing because there's going to be like 8 parts to this game and they're all going to have a stupid fucking tagline to them and you're not going to know what order they come in.
Yeah, but that hasn't been different in Final Fantasy. I mean, that hasn't been different in JRPGs. Like, that's pretty similar to other JRPGs in the franchise of like, they have ridiculously long titles for no apparent reason whatsoever.
Yep, but they should have just called it Final Fantasy VII Remake Part 2, Chapter 2, Second Chapter, if you wanted to be really dumb with it, like anything other than just slapping Intergrade. That doesn't make any sense. Like, it's just like, next one's going to be Final Fantasy VII Remake Resurrection or some stupid garbage.
I mean, look at the fucking one with Metal Gear Solid Revengeance.
That was different, though. That was its own different game because that wasn't a Metal Gear Solid game. That was Metal Gear Rising. That was a whole new franchise. I agree. The Revengeance was stupid and unnecessary because it was the first game. It literally should have just been called Metal Gear Rising.
Yeah.
I don't know why it was called Revengeance.
Metal Gear Rising Revengeance.
That game, however, I loved. It did not do well. It did not review well. I thought it was great.
I think because it was anti-American. I think that's why people have problems with it.
Yeah, people should stop playing Metal Gear Solid then because the entire fucking thing is anti-American.
Yeah.
It's literally all about how like America is shitty warmongers. Like,
yeah.
Then they should stop watching Star Wars because that's what that's about too.
Yeah, but with the Sony show off, it didn't show off anything. I was like, yeah, I want to get that. Like, there was no
exactly.
There wasn't any big hits that I was like, yeah, I want to look into that. Like, no Horizon Forbidden Dawn, Forbidden West stuff.
No Elden Ring.
Elden Ring. I think there has been a leak of stuff on Elden Ring, but it wasn't officially shown off.
There was a leak of Elder Scrolls 6 stuff. Nothing from that either.
Yep.
It very much felt like
that cat game.
You know, nothing from the cat game.
No, nope.
They kept showing stuff, and it kept being like, okay, like I'm waiting for the big thing, and the big thing just never came. Just like the Nintendo one.
Yeah,
the big thing just never happened. Final Fantasy VII is great and all, but that's like that should have been like your mid tier finale. Like halfway through the show, you should have showed that off.
Yeah, Stray. That's the game. That's
the
cat game.
No God of War.
Nope.
Just like
Ragnarok. No anything for Gotham Knights or anything.
Yep.
It just seemed very lackluster.
Yep. Oh, the other thing that I had to say about the Final Fantasy VII thing is it's going to be on PS4 and PS5. So they were doing that thing where they show you the differences between the graphics in the two versions. Yep. And they're doing like a slider between the two. And I'm telling you right now, they purposefully down-resed the PS4 graphics to probably 720p for the sole purpose of making it look terrible. So you'd be like, I guess I got to get a PS5 to make this look good.
Because if that bar was like for the actual both of the systems, I doubt you could tell a lot of differences. There'd probably be some lighting differences and some cell shading differences, but not
it looked pixely as fuck.
Yeah.
And you know, some people are like, well, you're watching a stream. And I was like, it's not the stream. You can tell stream pixels versus
the PS5 part would be pixely, not just the PS4 part.
And I talked to people who, you know, played the Final Fantasy VII remake on PS4 and flat out said, they're like, it does not look that bad. Like, that's an exaggeration. And I'm telling you, they down-resed it to make it look bad so that you would buy a PS5. And I was like, that's shitty on two fronts. One, because like that's really shitty to just be like a really shitty way of telling you to buy their new console instead of giving you an actual reason. And two, you couldn't buy a PS5 today if you wanted to.
Yeah, that's true too. Yeah, that's also the thing with all these announcements. People still can't buy this goddamn console anyway.
Been 4 months and you can't get either of the consoles anywhere.
Yeah. It's an impossible task right now.
Yep. So the good news is that Microsoft and Bethesda have leaked an event, a team up event between the two of them for some point in March. And I really at this point want to go 3 for 3 with shitty conferences.
Microsoft has already come out. They are not doing their own by themselves release of news. They've already had PR people come out saying they won't do a similar event to what PlayStation and Nintendo have done so far.
So it's just Bethesda?
So it's probably just Bethesda. I'm guessing it's for their Star, whatever the fuck it is. Their first
Starfield.
Yeah, their first original title.
There's
forever.
A lot that it can be. Starfield is definitely going to be like the headliner for it.
That's the next.
But there's a lot of other stuff that they could do.
Oh, probably Deathloop.
They could
too.
Show Deathloop and say Deathloop's coming to Xbox.
Yeah, they could. They could make that amount. I wouldn't doubt it's a lot of gameplay footage for Deathloop. Some new stuff for Star, whatever the fuck it is. I keep forgetting what it is.
Starfield.
Doubt it's anything for Elder Scrolls. I don't think they have enough yet.
I very much
anything.
Doubt Elder Scrolls. There'll be Elder Scrolls Online stuff, I think. Will not be. Elder Scrolls 6 will not be featured.
No. Because that
at
was.
At all, I think.
They had like a picture for when they announced it a year or two ago, was it? And it was probably very early development. And if they're doing a whole new system, if Microsoft is investing money in a whole new engine, then it's even further away. So I wouldn't doubt that we don't get another Elder Scrolls for at least 4 to 5 years.
Yep, probably.
I would say, which sucks, which means the next Fallout probably won't be until way after that.
Probably,
But I'm fine with that. I'd rather get a new Elder Scrolls first than a new Fallout.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
Just because how old Skyrim is now. at this point.
Yeah.
And I'm tired there playing will definitely in on everything under the sun.
Yep. There'll definitely be a lot of these games come into Game Pass stuff. You know, things like Doom Eternal will probably be on there. Mm-hmm. I assume Skyrim's coming to Game Pass, so maybe I'll actually play it.
Yeah.
Probably all of the Elder Scrolls games, probably all the Fallout games. You know, New Vegas, Fallout 3 will be coming to Game Pass, probably.
I don't think New Vegas will, because that's a different developer.
Who's also owned by Microsoft.
That is true.
Yeah, Obsidian's also owned by Microsoft. Yeah, I forgot about that.
So, yeah.
So,
I mean, they might put them on. The games are so old at this point that it just might be Skyrim and Fallout 4.
Right,
and they'll just go, here, have these. Yep. Which I'm not going to play on Xbox anyway, because those are mods, so I don't give a shit.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if we got an announcement for Wolfenstein 3. I feel like it's been enough time since Wolfenstein 2 where, like, there's a story that needs to be wrapped up.
Wasn't there the one with the twins?
Yeah, Youngblood?
Yeah.
That's a spinoff, though.
I thought that was, like, their third game in the series.
No, it's a spinoff.
Because he couldn't do anything anymore, so they were kind of just like, here's the twins now. I thought that counted as the third game in the series.
I feel like there was still story to wrap up for whatever his name, Blazkowicz.
There's always a story with fucking killing Nazis. I mean,
exactly.
It doesn't get old. But yep.
And the other thing that I think is a possibility is we know that Machine Games, who is owned by Bethesda, is working on an Indiana Jones game. I would not be surprised to finally see something from that rather than just something. Like the quick thing that they showed.
Yeah. It could just be a little bit more, but it's probably mainly Deathloop and Star whatever.
Yeah, and I'm sure half of it will just be interviews with developers.
Yeah, like developers whose first language isn't English.
Yep.
And who are also not forward-facing with clients, so they're awkward and can't speak the language. So I don't know why they do this.
I don't know. That seems to be like Microsoft's things in general, though. Yeah. It's just like, have some Swedish dude who's really awkward.
I think it's because Nintendo did it for so long because there wasn't really anyone else.
Yeah, involved. But Nintendo does it with people who are very charismatic. Like, anyone can listen to Miyamoto and Iwata. Sakurai's a little weird, but you still understand it. And then you had Reggie, who was like, all the Nintendo people were great, like, speakers and entertainers on top of being the
beginning,
developers.
They weren't. But then like, I don't know why they just started picking, like, anyone. They don't have, like, PR people. They're just picking developers out of the company. And it's like, don't do that. They're made to make the game. Don't make them speak in front of people. Just leave them alone. Let them work on the game. Stop fucking making them talk to jackasses like me.
Seriously.
And stop making, big announcements and shit. Just give me gameplay and shit. I don't give a shit.
Don't even talk. Just show me games. Yeah. That's it.
Stop doing E3 bullshit of, like, having bands come in and doing all that shit. Like, I'm tired of it. I just want to see gameplay as shit. God damn it.
All right. Let's take a quick break to line our pockets with cash, and we will be right back. All right. So let's, as usual, end with some geek on, geek off. I got one quick thing before we go into your stuff.
Yep.
Looks like... We talked about it a couple weeks ago. EA was having their internal review of Anthem Next to see if they were going to continue on with that or they're going to pull the plug. We predicted that they would pull the plug. We predicted correctly.
Yeah, sadly.
EA has announced that Anthem is dead.
Yep. They are not now releasing Anthem 2.0.
Yep.
It's a bummer.
All that work, 2 years of work, gone.
I think it's because they didn't have the team and they didn't have a good enough direction that they just were wasting money. And then EA was like, we're tired of this money pit. Let's GTFO. Just pull the plug now and work on a new game.
Yeah. It depends on who you ask, because EA, in my opinion, came up with the most bullshit excuse. One, they blamed COVID.
Are you shocked?
No, I'm not EA shocked, but it's still bullshit.
The most bullshit excuse, EA, the company that is... survived on bullshit for the last 20 years.
Yep. They blamed COVID, and they said that they want BioWare to focus on Dragon Age and Mass Effect.
Which
is also bullshit.
Which I am fine with, because a new Mass Effect and a new Dragon Age game, I'm 100% on board for.
Right. But what they're saying is that their small, pathetic 30-person team that they dedicated to Anthem were taking away, I guess, from the quality and the possibility of a new Dragon Age and a Mass Effect game. And like, so it almost seems like you're backhandedly blaming the Anthem team for how bad Mass Effect Andromeda was.
Yeah.
Also, why are they focusing on Mass Effect? You just released or are releasing the Mass Effect remastered series, well, so it just means that you're pulling those people to put them on the new Mass Effect game.
Yeah, yeah. There's the
which
new
is
Mass Effect game and the new Dragon Age. The new Dragon Age, I'm 100% on board for.
Right, yep.
Fucking EA on all the good games.
Now, the new Dragon Age game was heavily multiplayer focused.
The new one?
Yes.
Is it? Shit.
It was until they canceled Anthem and that same day announced that they are pulling all of the multiplayer stuff from Dragon Age.
Oh, thank Christ.
So it really feels like, I think it was Dragon Age. Let me make sure it was Dragon Age that they,
because Mass Effect has had multiplayer before. In 3, they had multiplayer, and it was actually fun, but it didn't have a really big following, so it kind of died out very quickly, so that's why they didn't have it in Andromeda. That'd be weird in a Dragon Age
The next
Age
Dragon
game.
Age, which doesn't yet have an official title or release date, had previously been designed with a heavy multiplayer component.
Multiplayer?
And, been transformed into a single-player-only game.
That's what it should be, because that's all they've been, and it's a very story-driven game. So I don't get how multiplayer would work.
I don't know. What I just don't understand is, like, I can't understand how EA was so badly burned by Anthem.
Like, it fell to the wayside, and then they went, oh, they're still working on this thing? We got to clean this shit up, because this we're just throwing money in here.
I can understand that it fell by the wayside, and I still obviously can't understand why they're abandoning it altogether, but I can understand that. But they're so burned that they're going to also completely change directions for Dragon Age. Like, you're EA. Your entire business is putting out shitty games and making people buy them. What is it about this one game that has promise that is ruining your entire, like, all of everything? It ruined other franchises. Yeah. Like, I just don't understand what it is about Anthem. Like,
I think there was just an internal review on everything, and Anthem definitely got the bullet on that one.
Yeah. My guess is that it's strictly about the sales.
Yeah. It's 100% sales. They don't think they would have made enough money by putting more money into Anthem.
Exactly. And every other shitbag game that they make, they still make they make a ton of money on.
Yeah.
They don't have to do anything with Madden, because they're going to make money off Madden every year.
Oh, yeah.
Mass Effect, they can keep pumping out bad Mass Effect games, honestly. People are still going to buy them.
This guy right here.
You right there.
I mean, the thing is, they have the legacy, the redoing of the old games, which was going to sell a ton of money anyway. They also have the new Dragon Age game coming out, which Inquisitions was a very, very good game, done really well. And then you have a new Mass Effect game on top of that, but it's bringing back the old game storyline. So,
but that's the thing, is like, they're banking on these other franchises that have had success in the past and being like, we're going to focus on those instead of attempting to build a new franchise which could have success.
I think they waited too long to step in. I think BioWare just sat for too long with Anthem and trying to make it better, because
they had a 30-person team. What did they expect?
I mean, the game didn't do well, so they cut the team and were like, work on it and try to make it better. We don't really give a shit. And then they found out they were still putting money into it, and then went, oh, fuck this. We'll get this shit out of here. We don't want this anymore. It was a money pit. I mean, it wasn't going to bring back the money they wanted. And there was no way it was ever going to bring money they wanted. So It sucks because I really wanted Anthem 2.0. We were playing a bunch beforehand and forgot how good the game is. We also remembered how little content the game had. But I think that the problem was they waited too long. If they had put out patches and stuff like that, I think they were trying to get a big drop so they could pull in a lot of players. But it with the dead silence in between, it just ruined them.
So when you look at games, because like really the reason that the other games get more chances is because like we know they're going to sell because people like them and people are going to buy them. Why did Titanfall get a second game and Anthem gets killed?
Titanfall did well.
But and it also, was like universally panned.
And also
to the point where didn't they have to fix it also?
They also steered franchises. Like, remember after Titanfall came out, fucking Call of Duty ripped it off. So they were like, we know we got something in this bag that people want. So let's make a second one. Then they blew it out of the fucking water with two, with a single player that was fantastic.
But like, that's the thing is like, couldn't they have looked at Anthem and be like, we got something here. Let's blow it out of the water with two.
I don't know.
Apparently not.
I think it was just, it dove so quickly. Titanfall, people still played a ton of the multiplayer aspect of the game. Because that was all, that's why it got hounded, because it only had multiplayer at the time. So people were like, wow, this is really weird. Now you can get away with that, no problem. But at the time, it was very odd. But they took a chance with it, but I don't think it was as much of a chance with that as with Anthem. And also the time gap again. It's been, you know, 2 years since the game released. Unlike Titanfall, where they put in money right in the get-go. Yeah.
It's just so dumb, because like they wanted to make it a live service game, and then they didn't.
Yeah.
Because they wanted to revamp it. So it was like that, you know, a lot of that missed time was because they were revamping the whole game rather than keeping it a live service like they initially intended.
Yeah.
But again, they could have done both if the team was adequate. And then they cancel it and say, we're going to keep the live service going. We're just going to, you know, we're going to keep the game going as it is, you know, release update patches and things like that. Like, your fan base is going to completely drop off now. No one's going to play it hoping for Anthem next. And I'm telling you, they say that we're going to keep the game going. No, you're not. This game, the servers will be shut down within the next 2 years.
Oh, yeah, easily. This game's
Anthem
dead.
Will be entirely dead.
Yeah.
Unplayable. Literally, you actually couldn't play it,
now, it
within the next 2 years.
There's no Anthem 2. Like, there can't be a next Anthem. But the chances of that happening are very slim. It could happen, but with what they're focusing on right now, it would be very far down the pipeline.
Yeah, they never even like hinted at possibly doing a second game. It was flat out just like, we're pulling everybody and putting them on more important projects.
Yeah. Which we're not shocked in the slightest. Both of us aren't shocked. It sucks because
we knew it was going to happen.
We liked the game and we wished it would do well. But it wasn't there. Unfortunately, they waited too long to put out major updates. You can't wait 2 years, put out a major update and then hope that it brings in the money. It ain't happening. It was too long.
Yep. So officially RIP Anthem.
RIP.
We hardly knew ye.
Yeah, just a bit.
Yep. All right. So what do you got for us?
So more Harry Potter Hogwarts Legacy game news. This is a game I'm actually excited for. I'm somewhat into Harry Potter. I think it's a cool world. Didn't watch all the movies. Also didn't read the last book. I think I just aged out. But it's a cool time, and the game has sound like cool thing, like create a character in the world of Harry Potter in the 1800s. Yeah. Sounds really cool.
I think Hogwarts Legacy looks and sounds like an awesome game.
And there's been like reveal trailers for it and stuff, and it looks really good. But the creator of Harry Potter has had some controversy with the transgender community in the last few years. But the makers of the game have said that this kind of stuff will not involve the game itself. You will be able to create a character with a masculine or feminine voice, regardless of your body. And you can pick to be called a witch or wizard. And those choices will change how people address you. And it won't matter on gender. So it's kind of like cyberpunk, where you could just have, you know, you could have tits or a dick, or, you know, no dick and tits,
or both.
And
yeah,
or both and stuff like that. It's kind of like that, where you can kind of pick and choose how people address you and your body type and your voice, and they're not just male and female assigned.
Mm-hmm.
So, which is pretty cool that they're doing this.
Yeah.
They're kind of just, I mean, spitting in her face, like, we don't believe any of this shit she's spewing out. Our game isn't going to be it's only based on her world, not her ideas.
Yeah. And that's what I like, is like, it's not the, so a lot of people will see it as like either some sort of like PR stunt of like, oh, they're just, you know, they're just pretending to be woke by including trans players. But in reality, all it is just like giving people more character creation options is never a bad thing.
No.
Like, there's never a time where it was like, oh, this game sucks, I can customize my character too much. Like, having people be able to do anything they want is what you want out of a character creator.
Yeah.
And if somebody wants to create a trans character because they are trans and they want someone to represent them, or they want to do it just for the sake of supporting the trans community, or they just feel like doing it because that's what they want to do at that time,
yeah,
that's exactly what you should allow them to do. Like, just allow people to create whatever they want.
And it's just a really cool thing to add that doesn't, I mean, takes a little bit of work, but it makes such a great impact.
Mm-hmm.
Because now you can kind of really customize your character and also represent a community. And also, this isn't, the stuff with J.K. Rowling isn't new. It's been the last like year or two that she's been doing that bullshit. So like, they're not just like, oh, she said something right now, let's put out something about this.
Exactly. Yeah. Not like a damage control thing for the Harry Potter series. Like, the fan base has long since accepted that J.K. Rowling's a douchebag. And like, and you know, it's, you know, a lot of, it's not just the trans stuff. It's been a long history. The trans hatred has been really over the past couple of years, like you said, but there's always been something, you know. Saying, you know, that there was one Jewish wizard, was Anthony Goldstein, Ravenclaw. He's a Jewish wizard. Like, okay, thanks for the inclusion.
Yeah,
naming the only Asian character Cho Chang. Like,
yeah,
there's just been a long
was...
history of her being very, very tone deaf, and then making it worse while trying to play damage control for her own shit. When people are like, why don't you have any gay characters? Oh, Dumbledore was gay. And then squeezing in, you know, a gay storyline for him just to appear like that's the type of shit where it's like, you're just trying to be woke rather than just like being a normal human being and just being accepting of everybody and allowing people to just be who they are.
Mm. And WB has said again that Rowling has no direct involvement whatsoever with the developer. She is not doing anything with the game. It's literally just taking her setting and rolling with it, which has happened before with other titles. Look at comic books. It happens constantly. So.
Yeah. And that's a good thing from two perspectives. It's a good thing from one because, first of all, she would have a problem with this. 100% she'd have a problem with this, and she would tell them to take it out of the game. But also, if she was involved, I feel like... So
it
I feel like this
shitty.
Game is going to be... Yeah, that. But I feel like this game is going to be like a Hogwarts game where you create your character and go through Hogwarts, and there's not going to be a whole lot of like Harry Potter involvement.
Yeah.
Whereas I feel like if she was involved... everything would just be like, it would be, everything would be in some way related to Harry Potter, or like there would be storylines and things that you do that are like, you know, kind of want, you know, winks and nods to what Harry Potter is and leading up to all the Harry Potter stuff. It would just be very Harry Potter based, which I think that this will hopefully not be.
Which she's done stuff after the Harry Potter books, and they haven't been nearly close to the book she wrote previously. So it's just like,
She
wrote those books and that was fucking it.
Yeah, it makes you think of like, you know, did she have ghostwriters who were actually writing her books for her?
I mean, you know, it's just nice to see that they're doing this kind of stuff. It's just nice to see that you can just make a character however you like.
Exactly.
You're not restrained by male, female. You can do male body, female voice, female with body with male voice. You can have a male being told they're a witch and females being called a wizard, and it's interchangeable. So
yeah,
it's cool.
It's just, yeah, it's cool. More customization, better, you know, more, you know, being able to, because that's the thing is, like, I was shit talking Shadow of War before, like, this dude is the most stock motherfucker in the world. Like, I don't care about that.
Yeah.
I much prefer being able to, and this is interesting. It might have been you that we were talking to, like, when, you know, I like creating characters that look like me and, like, basically inserting myself into the story, or I'll just, most of the time I play as a woman when I have the option, just because I like want to make some badass lady and just like kill people and stuff. So like being able to create your own character, whether it's serious and cool, or you go like the, you know, WWE route or Saints Row and just monsters. Make the most obnoxious looking moron. Yeah. Make a fucking monster. Like having the ability to insert your creation into the game and have it blend into the world is just always so, that's what's immersive to me. Making your character, like I said, whether you're doing it serious and you want like this person fits into this world, or you're making a monster and just like every time you see a cutscene, be like, I can't believe this. Like,
and that's like,
you know, my dude's in a suit with a pimp hat.
Yeah, that's always great. And that's like 99% of the reason I want to play this game is because you can make your own character in the Harry Potter world. So like, that's the reason why I want to play it, because you can create your own. Just creating your own character just makes me happy.
Yeah. Like, so, if I just had to play as some random person at Hogwarts, I might not be that interested. And, like, it reminds me a lot of what I hated so much about X-Men Destiny is, like, the idea of, like, holy shit, I can create my own X-Men and choose my power. Nah, you get to choose between three very stock and stereotype people, and then you can choose, like, one or, you know, between one of four, I think, branches of powers. So I was like, oh, this isn't really a character creator, this is garbage.
Well, that game, like, had a whole lot of reasons to
that
hate
game
him.
Had a lot of other problems, but that was, I mean, that was the first problem, because it was the first thing that happened in the game was choose one of these three generic people. And yeah, having the ability to create your own character however you want and putting them in that world is a huge deal. Like, character creation is always a good thing to me. Yeah. Like,
more
there's almost no
for
game.
Character creation.
Yes, more options.
And this gives...
And good ones, too.
Yeah.
The amount of games that have terrible hair choices, like, blows my mind to this day.
It's always hair physics, I think it is. That's what it is.
Yeah. A lot of times, hair just looks like trash in games.
So, I'm excited having more things to customize in the game, and being inclusive in games is always great. Don't look at comments of anything, especially I pulled this article from IGN. Don't look at the comments. If they are terrible people, but it's great that the game is moving on and doesn't have to involve JK Rowling, and they're separating themselves from it, her, and that they are they're starting to separate her ideas away from her so that they can expand on them.
Yeah.
So it can be its own living, breathing world and not.
And that's what it is. At this point, the Harry Potter universe is bigger than the Harry Potter books. And like, frankly, the community and the universe is better than the books and the movies and ever were, than the source material ever was. Like, you know, the books are good. The movies for the most part are good, but they're not, to me, they've never been anything that's like incredible. It's always been the community of people who, like, I don't know, kind of created the world around it that just like made it really cool. And I feel kind of similar when it comes to like superhero movies and stuff, where it seems like I love the MCU, but I really feel like it was like a big like community of people who, like, obviously all these stories and these universes were already created, but like, I don't know, it just felt like the people who were involved in it made it better than, you know, the actual entries themselves were.
And I hope this continues with the Harry Potter world of expanding the universe and not having to deal with crazy bitch lady that created it.
Exactly.
Because the world is exciting and the world is fun. It's kind of mystical and childlike almost, but with a dark edge to it.
Yep.
Especially when you go to different places, when you don't have to be in Hogwarts, or you can be in America, or you can be in Asia, or South Africa, or anything like that. Different places, new schools, new spells. Mm-hmm. It's going to take place in 1800s, so it'd be cool to see where the Hogwarts was at the time.
And it feels a lot like what they're doing with Star Wars, where they're breaking out of Star Wars. And like now that they have the Mandalorian, it's like you can tell other stories. They've had, you know, Clone Wars shows and Star Wars Rebel, where it's like you can tell extra shit and people are gonna like it. You don't have to stick to, you know, the main nugget. So now that they're gonna they're expanding this, like, it opens up the possibility of like a lot of cool stuff that they could do with it.
So I'm excited. It's cool that they're adding all this cool, these inclusive features, and I cannot wait for this game. I think it's going to be really exciting. I can't wait for more info on it.
Yeah, it did get delayed till 2022.
Yeah,
they
that makes
put
me
more...
sad, but I'm fine with waiting. It's also
gonna I got
be,
enough stuff to play.
Yeah, I have way too much shit to play, so I'm fine with waiting for this game to be good. So I'm excited. You should be excited too.
Hell yeah. All right, that is all for us this week. Thanks for listening. To find our social media links, previous episodes, or leave us a voice message, please visit us at genfailcast.com. Normally here, we'd ask you to support our show with a small contribution, but this week, we'd like you to consider donating to an organization like Black Lives Matter or the NAACP. If you like what you've heard from us, please follow us on Spotify and leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. Everybody say bye.
Ever to go, ever!
Bye. Yeah, some spell.